I'll record button. Well, hopefully I'm recording.
Hey guys, Beanie here from smallbusinessmarketingideas.tv, and this is the local social business show. And of course, as always, we've got Alistair from thefullnoise.co.nz. How are you, Alistair?
Really good this week, Beanie. How are you?
Good, mate. Really good. And we've got a lot to cover on this show. Looking at our page in front of us here, the theme for the show is how to get more followers. And why should they follow us? Excellent topic, I think. I get asked a lot of questions about this. I don't know if you get the same thing.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Seems to be a pretty hot topic. All right, mate. So we'll get right into it then. So why should a follower like you, and why is it worth turning yourself into someone worth following?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the crux of this episode, actually, Beanie, is that why should they? You know, you see so many things out there at the moment, you know, Facebook pages and courses and all the sort of little tricks and plugins and things you can buy, which are just promising, you know, get 10,000 likers or get, you know, 50,000 fans and all of this thing. And that's totally understandable, because what we all want, I suppose, is more likers or fans or followers or whichever medium you're on. But I don't think enough people stop to think about why should anybody actually follow you? You know, why am I so great that I need to have 10,000 followers? What am I actually willing to give away or offer those people to actually start following me? You know, I think we've spoken about this in the past, but it was easy to get followers and friends and people to follow your Facebook page when there weren't many around. But now that there's just sort of people running into this point where they're getting so many options of people to follow and so many people to follow on Twitter and Facebook, that then, you know, it's harder for them to go, okay, I'll follow one more, you know. So you need to give them, it's all about the reasons that we're talking about a little bit about last week or last episode. But I think people have to seriously consider what are you doing which is making you worthy of a follow.
Yep, definitely. That's absolutely spot on. There has to be a reason. You've got to be providing something of value. They're not just going to follow you for the sake of following you. And while we've got in the notes here, it is a mind shift. You've got to stop thinking about what's in it for you, as in I need to get 10,000 followers so that I've got X amount of dollars coming out of my Facebook page so that I can whatever, pay the bills or have enough money to go fishing or whatever it is, whatever your motivation is. And start looking at, all right, I've got 10,000 people on this page. What can I deliver to them so that they're wanting to keep coming back and buying from me? It's not just a one-step process, is it? It's an ongoing thing. It's easy to sell to someone that's, you know, already likes you and buying your products and services. Better to move more stuff to them than to continue to keep looking for new people. Is that the way you look at it as well, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just sort of was having a thought while you're talking there, is that it actually harks a lot back to Seth Godin's Tribes book, where he talks about having, you know, anyone can survive, any artist or anyone can survive having just what he called 1,000 true fans. And true fans are people that actually fully engage and really want to, they seek out every single little thing that you're doing and producing. And that's more important than having 50,000 Twitter followers who don't listen to a damn thing that you say. So that's kind of where we're going to, I think. So building that engagement of people that are actually going out of their way to listen to what you have to say, that's much more important, I think, much more valuable to anybody than having 50, 100, 200,000 fans that have just come off some sort of bot somewhere, which has just followed all these people and then unfollowed all the time, which we all get that on Twitter.
Our churn and effect. Yeah, actually, I remember what you're talking about in Tribes there, and he said that, and a lot of people might not even realise this, how close they are to having a good following. If you got 1,000 quality followers, that's enough to make an income from. So that's not a huge amount, and it's not hard to get those numbers there, but they do have to be quality, not just every Tom, Dick and Harry that you've asked, please come over and like my page.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think you hit the nail on the head there. Quality is 100 million times more important than the the quantity, the number of people that are actually following you. Because anyone can do that in bots. I mean, how many people have you seen on Twitter in particular that have 50,000 followers and they also incidentally follow 52,000 people and really no engagement or anything there whatsoever. So those quality people are so much more important. You know, and Seth Godin, actually, this is going somewhere that I didn't really expect it to go, but he's talking a lot about how, you know, he defined a true fan as being someone who will buy every single thing that you produce. They'll look for extra things that they can get. They'll, you know, say if, for example, you're a band, they will drag their friends along to come to your concerts and to buy your t-shirts and every little thing. So that's what a true fan is. And you're getting much closer to that when, well, actually I definitely follow some people myself that I'm almost at that level. So, you know, much, much more valuable. Okay, let's dive into a little bit about how we actually start looking to you know, get people, get those fans, those in particular people. How can we become the person who's actually, or the organisation is providing the information and the content that people actually go out of their way to seek out? We had a bit of a brainstorming session about this the other day.
Yep.
What's your first thoughts there,
Benny? We've got notes in front of us here that we work off every week, and you've put in here, keep producing, sharing content, a cover band, never change the world. And that just nails it on the head, you know. You can go along and copy someone else, and to a certain extent when you're starting out, yeah, you probably are going to do that, and even to a certain extent, we do that a little bit. Like, we look at people who are successful and a good job that they're doing, and look to put those their habits into place, because habits, people aren't successful by luck. They're successful because of the habits that they put in place. So we look at these guys, see what they're doing, and go, yeah, that's a good idea. Or this podcast here, which came basically from, I pretty much think it came from us listening to Joe Polish and Dean Jackson, which is the I Love Marketing podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we've done is keep producing, keep sharing the content. We put our spin on it. We have a look at it from, we put our own stories into it. You know, we were doing this. I was working with such and such a client the other day, and this is the result we got from doing this. And we look at our own experiences. We would both spend a lot of time on these sites. We look at our own experience as well. But when we put that across, it's not just, again, it comes back to quality. Everything comes back to quality. We could just sit here and ramble on a heap of stuff that someone else had done and had no relevance to us or anyone else, and it would just be a complete waste of time. But we don't. We spend every second week, we sit down, we brainstorm, we get the ideas down, and then we produce what we consider to be quality content. And I think that's the key to it all.
Yeah, dead right. Yeah, that a cover band never changed the world quote. I'm sorry, at the top of my head, I can't remember who I actually heard that from first. But the point is, you know, you see so many people on Twitter, especially, that are just retweet, or sharing other people's content. But at some point, you have to stick your hand up and say, "These are my thoughts. This is what I'm thinking." So yeah, that sort of really struck a chord with me. Okay, so like you just mentioned before, we sat down and sort of brainstormed this a little bit. So what we did, we sat down and thought about some of the people that we go out of our way to make sure we read almost every single thing that they're producing. And, you know, these are the people that we, I suppose, are the true fans of, especially when it comes to the content they're producing. And we kind of just sort of brainstormed some of the things which make it that way. Why is it that we go out of our way to find these guys' content? We can go over some of the people, but the people, like, you know, it's some of the in common that we have are sort of, you know, Ed Dale and Frank Kern in the internet marketing space, Brian Clark from Copy Blogger. But outside of the internet marketing sort of space, you've got people like, this isn't necessarily me, but the people like, you know, Gordon Ramsay. Some people buy every single book that he's got. You know, he's obviously, everyone knows he's a celebrity chef. And then I was thinking, because I was doing something else today, thinking about David Attenborough as a, you know, and that sort of nature eco sort of TV thing. He sort of owns that space to so many people who watch every single thing. And I was thinking about that because there's a TV episode on at the moment. So yeah. Oh, and the last thing I had there, which I had a star by, Benny, just so I might remember to bring this up, is your local newspaper. When you think about newspapers, all they do is produce content. That's what they do. And not only that, they produce a ton of content. I don't know how many articles are in your local newspaper, but we've got a pretty small one here in Blenheim, but you're still probably looking at 20 or 30 articles every single day that are coming out.
Yep.
So anyone that says, oh, I'm not sure if I'm producing too much content for my market, well, newspaper does it all day, every day.
That's very, very true. And the other thing that you go back to those ones that you just mentioned right at the end there in particular, Gordon Ramsay, David Attenborough, your local newspaper, there's one I threw in there, which is the lads from Tales from the Tinny, and they've all got something very specific that they talk about. They talk to a very specific market, and they're not afraid to have an opinion, any of them. They're all, you know, they'll put their hand up and go, this is what I think about this, and if you like it, good. If you don't, that's your problem, particularly Gordon Ramsay in particular would be one that stands out there. But they're all like Tales from the Tinny. They talk about barramundi fishing in Darwin. Now, that's specific. That's, you know, and they've got a huge following there that love everything that they produce. Gordon Ramsay, again, is cooking. David Attenborough is your wildlife. And your local newspaper, again, is very specific. You know, you're nailing down to how big is the population in your area there, mate?
26,000 or 40,000 people, I suppose, in the larger region. So yeah. Pretty small.
Yeah.
Small region, small number of people.
In comparison to what, you know, the amount of news that is out there in the world, that's getting very specific, nailing down to a small area like that. So that is vitally important as well, not just to stand up, put your hand up and say, hey, this is my opinion on this, but make it your opinion on something very specific.
Exactly. Okay, let's rattle through some of these other traits that I think that these sort of people, you know, whether you want to call them market leaders or authorities in their markets, whatever terminology you want to use. But the first one I think is pretty obviously regular content. These people are always producing something. You know, in the case of internet marketers guys, it's either blogs sort of every day or at least two or three times a week. You've got people like Gordon Ramsay who's always putting out books and, you know, new TV episodes and programs and radio shows and all sorts of content, and it's varied, but there's all sorts of stuff constantly coming. And if you think, just a bit of a random thing of looking at it, but you think of music artists who have survived for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 years, they just keep producing stuff. Otherwise, you get forgotten. You know, everyone heard of a one-hit wonder?
Yep.
Well, there's, you know, these guys don't do that. They're always producing something.
Yeah, that's very true. Sorry, man, I cut you off there.
No problem at all. Next one.
Top quality. But you've also got a very important point here. You have to start somewhere. So it's important to produce the best quality that you can, but you're not going to start off like, as I mentioned before, I mention these guys a lot because their podcast is excellent. It's I Love Marketing Podcast, right? And we get a lot of what we do. As I say, we look at what they do because they're successful and we aim to be like that. We're not. You know, not we want to. That's the level we want to get to. It was not going to happen in the first episode or the first 10 episodes or whatever, but that continually keep doing it week after week, put that time in, it'll get better and better. That's a very important point that you got there.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the reason I put that on there is that, you know, it's so easy to think, oh, I'm not going to be good enough, so I won't do it, or I'll have to wait until I really know what I'm doing. The reality is experience counts for an awful lot, and the only way to really get good at something is to keep doing it.
Exactly. Action will always lead in action.
Yeah, exactly. It means that if our first few podcasts sucked a little bit, then that's fine, but I know that we get better and better every single week or every single episode, so and not that they suck that bad.
Hopefully not. what have you got there next, mate? Right, results-based and actionable. Talk us through those two.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so results-based, and I've sort of stolen this blatantly from Frank Kern, actually. But, you know, people are more likely to be interested in something which they can actually do or use. And even if they never do go ahead and use the techniques or whatever you're offering them, having, you know, gives them a reason to actually read it. Now, I suppose you can go off and just go purely for entertainment or information's purposes, like your newspaper, but you're more likely to be engaged with it if it's something that you're going to get something out of it. You know, the old what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. If you're providing information which people can actually get something out of, going to be much more compelling for them.
Yep. So you're talking about, I'm going here, results-based and actionable. Say I put up a video, like I do, on YouTube. So it's, say, if you make a QR code, you can link it to your Facebook page and it's going to make it easy for people to find you on Facebook, move into Facebook and grow your Facebook page. That's the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yep, exactly. So you're telling them the result they can get from it, and you also know that just by doing that, they're actually going to get the results. So that's perfect. And actionable is something, you know, you're telling them exactly how to do it, go and do it. Now, to be honest, the big problem that I get from most people about this is like, yeah, but if I tell them how to do it, they're going to, how to do everything, they're going to actually go and do it by themselves and not you know, become my client or pay me or whatever. And the fact is that's probably quite possible. But then again, if you build houses, not many people these days are going to build their own house, you know, even if you tell them exactly how to do it. But the reality is you can also tell them how to do small parts of things without telling them how to do the whole lot. Yep. You know.
Very important. I think that one too, like if someone is determined to do it for themselves, right, there's that much information on the internet, they're going to find it. So by you going, I'm not going to tell them what I know, you're not going to stop them doing that job or whatever it is themselves. But you are missing out on the opportunity of them going, geez, that was good. I learned that off of him, and I'll share that. Someone else that they know looks at it and goes, I want that done too, but I can't be bothered doing that myself. Who is this person that taught you how to do that?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, dead right. So how many times have we sat down and watched something or listened to something or read a book and thought, that's amazing, that's really, really good, but when it comes to trying to actually implement it and take the action, you can't quite get all the pieces together, even though the entire thing, the entire blueprint even is there to do, and you know exactly what you need to be doing, but you can't quite get all the pieces in a row. So that's why you can actually tell someone how to do every single thing that you do. Not that I recommend doing that, but you can, and people still at the end of the day will come to you and say, okay, can you actually show me how to do it? Yeah. Or even better, can you do it for me? Because I just can't get it.
Yep. That will always happen. All right, opinions we've got there, mate, but I think we pretty much covered that earlier, you know. As you said in here, it's a key to being unique. Has been your personality. You can like people with different opinions, but not someone that just sits on the fence on everything. No one pays any attention to anyone that sits on the fence. They rather someone that makes a big call and is wrong every now and again, or wrong more times than they're right. But they're still going to follow that person more than someone who just sits on the fence.
Exactly. I think like you mentioned, Gordon Ramsay is a perfect example of that, where people either love him or they hate him, you know, because of who he is, and he's pretty controversial a lot of the time. But people that, you know, no one sort of sits on the fence, oh yeah, he's okay, I'll watch him, maybe. But, you know, pretty much everyone is, he's love him, I love him, he's awesome, I love that he'll say the things that he does, and other people are going to be, no, that's ridiculous.
That's not for me. But as Billy Connolly says, you don't want to be beige. All right, but last one that's very important as well, mate. Not always business all the time, particularly on social sites. It does become robotic and boring. So how do we brush that up a bit?
Yeah, and I've got to be honest, there's something which it took me a long time to work this out, and I still struggle with it from time to time. You have to put a little bit of personality, and this goes to what we were talking about before about opinions, but personality, you know, at the end of the day, it's a little bit of a cliche, I guess, these days, but, you know, people buy off people, not businesses. But if it's just, you know, just constant stream of information, that's all well and good. But one, you haven't given opinion, and two, you know, you don't really, can't really relate to the person that's sharing it with you. And at the end of the day, it's then that you're going to be buying the stuff off.
Yeah, well, I just reposted this one because I'd forgotten all about it last night. There's a video that I did, and I can't even remember what I was talking about in it, but the kids had just got the whole of the Glee Wii, and they're out in another room, and my wife said, do you want to keep them quiet, rah-rah? I said, no, just let them go a bit, right? This is supposed to be a noise-canceling mic. Anyway, a bit of it come through, so I just made a joke of it. I started the video, and I said, that's not the dog howling in the background. It's just the kids playing on the Glee Wii, and you could hear them in the background a bit. And I got to the end and said, look, I've really got to get them kids some singing lessons, you know. And that's part of me coming through. I could have just sat there and talked about whatever I was going to talk about, and it could have just been another video. But from that, they know I've got a couple of kids. They play Glee Wee. You know, it just gives them a bit of an insight into who Beanie is and a bit more, I suppose, what his personality is like.
Yeah, so personality is absolutely 100% important. And even if it's just sharing little things, you know, you might be scared of, and actually Dale's a really good example of this lately. One, he's a complete utter Mac nutter, which I think he turned the both of us into Mac nutters. But aside from that, but he also talks about Arsenal and stuff. Now you might say, oh, I'm not going to talk about someone, you know, something like football. I mean, that swings people. You know, people love or hate Arsenal. You know, but then he's on doing a podcast with someone else who's a Man United fan. And, you know, and they should clash. So, but it still kind of works, even though you might completely hate Arsenal, you're still not going to stop listening to him just because of it.
Yeah.
But it shows that he's got a personality outside of, you know, business all the time.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, you know, you're not just a robot, you're not just a face hiding behind a static website. All right, a couple of tools, mate, we've got there for how do we become this market leader. We got Google, and what's the second one we got there, mate? What were we talking about there?
I can't remember. We'll delete that out.
I'll forget that one. When we're talking Google, we'll be talking Google Reader, I'm assuming. So you like sucking your feeds in to see what's going on in the world. Look, I love Reader. I use it on the iPad every day. That's where you're going with that one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, it's just getting information in about your market so you can comment on it, you know. It's another place where you can add a little bit of content without being over the, you know, it could be quality content, but and have an opinion about something which someone else is doing without having to sit down and start from scratch and think, right, what am I going to write about today or produce a video about today?
Right. Yeah. All right. So what have we got left here? We've got a couple of links there that we'll share up on the blog. One was from, there was a great article posted by a copy blogger on Content Infographic. It's an excellent visual post for having a look through. It gives you some ideas for creating content stories yourself. That was really good. There was a Dale Carnegie post as well, and it said something like, I'll actually put the link up to it, I saw it on Pinterest, and it was something like, you'll close more deals in the next 2 months by wondering what you can do for your market first instead of going out, then you will in 2 years going out thinking what you can do for yourself, which is basically the crux of what this podcast has been around. Just in finishing off, we're having a quick look at Pitch Anything and just a real quick reason why you want to do this, why you want to become a leader within your niche. So just talk us through the Pitch Anything bits there, mate.
Okay, we've talked about Pitch Anything a little bit before. Excellent book, but it's just based around psychology, I guess. And the first part of it is that you can, you know, we all have some form of market leadership or some expertise in some area anyway. So you, by becoming more and more of an authority or a market leader, then you're going to get more higher status in that particular market, and people are therefore going to listen to you more, and more people sort of flock to you. So I suppose that's the general psychology of the high status.
Yep. And the other thing is that, you know, you've really got to see yourself as being the person that's good enough to do it. You're not going to start out at the top. You're not going to be a Frank Kern or an Ed Dahle or a Andy Jenkins or David Attenborough straight away. But you've got to see yourself getting there and realising that you are good enough to do the job and just start producing.
Yeah, dead right.
All right. That actually, Ed Dahle says about it because he talks a lot on market leadership and he says you need to take 12 months. It'll take you 12 months to become a leader in a niche. And a lot of people go, I just don't have the 12 months put in. But I mean, right, this is an article that had come up the other day, and it was talking about bloggers or influencers, right? And it was off Social Media Examiner, and they were talking to Shana Higgins, who's the CEO of Technorati, which is what is Technorati? I suppose it brings all the blogs online together, I suppose. It's sort of it is the market leader of blogs, if you like. And in there she said, now I can't remember if it was 250 times to 1,000 times a day or a week, whatever, it's still a huge amount, that because bloggers are influencers and if you build that influence, they're getting approached by brands 250 to 1,000 times a day or a week to promote their products and services. So right there is good enough reason for me to spend 12 months becoming a leader in your niche. I don't know what you think, mate, but that's good enough for me.
Good enough for me too, I think, Benny.
All right, mate. I think we have pretty well much covered everything for this week, unless you got anything else that you want to add before we head off.
I think we've covered it, but I'll tell you what, I'd like everyone just to have a really seriously have a think about this idea of why people should follow you. In fact, I would go so far as to encourage you to go and grab a pen and a paper, sit down and just write down a few points about why people should follow you. And if you can't sort of think of any, write down about some of the things that you can start producing and some of the things that you can give to people. To make them want, and by things, of course, I mean not necessarily discounts or anything. I'm talking about some information or some how you can start owning that space in your particular market or niche, whether it's local or for the whole worldwide web. But just write down a few points and what some of the things that you can offer. That's my big sort of suggestion for today, I guess, some action that we can take from today.
Yep, I'll even go one step further. If you can't think of anything, why someone should follow you, have a look at why. You follow different people in different niches, whether it be cooking, gardening, horse riding, sailing, whatever it is. Have a look at the people that you do listen to. Look at what they're sharing and see why you go and look at the stuff that they share. Then start taking those habits across to what you do. All right, before we go, mate, we tell everyone else they have to do this all the time, so we're going to do it ourselves. If you like the podcast, a review on iTunes, a tweet, a share, any way that you can share around is much appreciated. You can check out Alistair's stuff. What's your website name again, mate?
You can find us at thefullnoise.co.nz and just hit the blog button up the top there and you'll get to the blog.
Yep, and mine, smallbusinessmarketingideas.tv, and you'll see the blog button on there as well.
Yeah, right. And lastly, otherwise, come and find me at facebook.com/thefullnoise.
Yeah, and my Facebook is facebook.com/beanies marketing tips. But make sure you put the domain name in, because remember from our last podcast, Facebook search sucks.
Sure does.
If you search it. All right, mate. Thanks very much for your time.
No problem. Okay, until next episode.
Right, mate. Speak soon.
See ya.